Welcome. This is Maritime Reality Check and I am Hope Orivri. On this edition of the program, the Chairman CEO of Integrated Oil and Gas Company Limited, Captain Emmanuel Ihanacho, shares with us on the importance of regulatory intervention for effective cargo evacuation from the ports. He talks on this and many more.
Have to have a groupage area, that's what they call it, a container groupage area where containers go and then they remove all the stuff there and the customs will look at those things individually. So who's allowing them to degroup containers on the road?
Obviously the regulators would not, by the rules of operation, that they are doing that now and it's as though nobody's stopping them.
I honestly don't have an answer to it. You know, there's so many things that are happening that you really don't know where to start answering. You know, this is a problem that you have pointed out.
Yes.
I haven't been down to Tinkham for ages because it was impassable for so many years.
It's still very impassable.
So then I stay here. Even with us staying on this side, the whole thing is catching up with us.
Yes.
Because you can see a tailback of lorries.
Yes.
We're coming down to Liverpool.
Then
in Liverpool, the whole place is filled with lorries all the way around the roundabout.
Yes.
Then you make your way towards a creek road. It's the same old story. When will it stop? Somebody has to take responsibility.
Fine, that's what we are saying. So who should we actually be looking at?
I've never in my life seen any port system that is operated like this.
If we look at this and consider what should be done for every port system, how should we be addressing this very issue? At least by way of your own opinion.
Yeah, but there are so many authorities that really have an interest in this issue that you have raised. Authorities, by way Nigerian Ports Authority, in view of the fact that all the containers that eventually are degrouped on the road come out of the ports, they must have an interest, a vested interest, in ensuring that there is a thoroughfare into and out of the NPA facilities. So they should have the very first intervention by saying to people, don't stop your containers here. Absolutely take it wherever you are going to. That is one. The second will be the customs. Customs have an interest in what is in those containers.
Yes.
And customs should have standards that they operate by. You cannot say, put this thing on the road and let's pack it down there and we will come there and we'll be peering over your shoulders to see what you have done there. Then there are so many other municipal authorities that really should have a say. Lagos State Ministry of Transport, this Wharf Landing Fee Speeds. They must be a forum where they all meet to discuss common problems that affect the issue of transit through the port areas.
Or they've often had fora where they discuss these issues, and I think it's a problem of enforcement.
Well, no, I don't think it's a problem of enforcement. Before we get to enforcement, you have to set standards.
Okay.
There are some things that are unacceptable behavior.
Yes.
There are some things that, okay, you can do this, you can do that. And after you do that, you then set out rules and regulations that you expect people to follow. So if you have rules and regulations, say, preventing people from stopping their lorries when they come out of the ports, opening those lorries and removing things from them, then people will understand, because once you do that, you will be arrested, fined, or maybe some of those goods that you are carrying will be seized. One doesn't really know who's in charge now.
And
really, this is the big problem.
It is a big problem. But some time ago, somebody was talking about the need to have a dedicated port corridor road, that if you don't have anything to do with the ports, you don't go that way. Some time ago too, you mentioned the need for marshalling areas. Can they visit at least such ideas?
Yeah, they can, of course. All they have to do really is actually, they don't have to build the wheel afresh. They have to look at successful ports across the world and look at how those ports are managed, and look at how some of the issues that you have raised, issue of congestion, issue of allocating specific parts of the ports for specific type of activities, all of those things are problems also that other people face. But the difference is how people manage it on that side and how we don't manage it on this side. and how we have this attitude that it will be all right on the day, you know, so just do whatever you like. If it takes you 5 days, then somebody within Sulu says, ah, look at the man, he has come out of the ports. Whereas if they really had proper regulations, good organization, proper enforcement, then the man would say, 1 hour's time, he comes out of the gate, we see him in Sulu. So these are the issues. It's so intractable, it's so difficult, what we have to contend with here, what we spend the energy doing.
Okay, and then lately, it's ever been there, the desire for Nigeria to be a hub within the West African region, and the talks about the AfCFTA going to take off by 2021. What hopes and...
Well, the infrastructure has to be around. If we want to be a hub, we want to be a hub by virtue of our having very nice and hospitable ports. But we don't have nice and hospitable ports. Hospitability cannot be applied to a description for our port system. So if we want to be a hub, it means that not only do we provide service for ourselves, we will provide service for landlocked countries. Each person from Niger or Chad would like to come and get stuck in the go-slow in Nigeria. And then when they climb the bridge leading to the ports,
yes,
then they see somebody fighting with them or collecting money from them. So we've been investing in these cliches for a very long time, talking about the advantages of being a hub. Advantages simply means we make more money than we should have made, you know. But we're not interested in that because the standards that existed before, we are not sustaining them. Over the last 50 years, I don't think that we have made a progress, really, because if you look at how the ports were when tin can was built, you'd expect that more tin cans would have been built along the coast.
So do you think not having the national transport policy has anything to do?
If you have a national transport policy and nobody follows it, what is the point? It's an attitudinal problem, you know. Attitudinal in the sense that we want businesses to grow. We want to subscribe to the ease of doing business concept. But how does that happen? It happens when you consciously say that what I'm going to do today is to make sure that every business, genuine businessman that I see, I make sure that his business grows. But not to say that every businessman that passes today, I'm going to lock them down unless. And that is the impression that people get, that there are people out there who do not want to see private businesses grow, who revel in wielding extraordinary power and influence. And that then overtakes the purpose of our existence as a collective. So.
Okay, well, looking at that, what role does the internal container depots where at least would bring some sort of relief?
The concept of an ICD is actually the same thing that we keep talking about, to relieve the ports so that you don't have containers dwelling here. So basically, when a ship comes in with containers, you load them onto transit trucks without clearing them, and the customs will make arrangement to ensure that the goods go to an ICD, so that that business of opening the trucks, looking at what's in there, will be done inland,
yeah,
and not at the port. So then the port has an opportunity to play its role as an interface between sea transport and land transport. But that is not what is going on. You know, I doubt if that is what is going on. But even if that was going on, there is clearly a mismatch between capacity of cargoes coming in and the facilities that are there to cater for the administrative requirements for customs, for instance, to look into those containers and make sure that they conform with our tariff regime.
And this is obviously impacting on the desire of people to have preference for ports of other neighboring countries.
Sure, if ports in the range, if there are ports that allow you to do business much more easily than the Nigerian ports, why would you not do it? so that you will then clear your goods and then come through the border, and then that's it. And that is why, and I'm sure that you've heard about that here severally, people talking about people showing a preference to going to Cotonou and all those airports, so that then the goods clear and then they can come into Nigeria through the land borders.
It's a whole lot. Okay, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you very much.